When living with cancer, it's important to be informed and know what to expect. But finding the right information can feel overwhelming. That's why UnderstandCancerTogether.com is here to help. We've gathered practical information and resources based on where you are in your cancer journey so that you can focus on the important conversations and decisions of today. UnderstandCancerTogether.com, helping you navigate life with cancer one moment at a time.
Which Manning brother will win the FanDuel Kick of Destiny 3 on Super Bowl Sunday? Peyton or Eli? Make your free pick now to compete for a share of $10 million in bonus bets. May the best Manning win. Only on FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Vermont. No purchase necessary. $10 million prize pool to be split equally among all eligible participants who made the correct pick. Prize issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See full terms at FanDuel.com/sportsbook. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
That XL bully ban has been partially paused thanks to a High Court injunction. With me is Pat Watt, who is CEO of the DSPCA. Pat, from your perspective, the slight stay means what?
Yeah, so it is merely, at the moment, a stay of execution for dogs in animal shelters at the moment. So what it means is that there are no seizures or euthanizing until the review, which is on the 27th of February, the judicial hearing. And it only applies to those dogs that were accepted before the 1st of October. So it is still illegal to rehome an XL bully after February the 1st. And the public obviously still needed to apply for the exemption up until, you know, midnight last night and book their neutering. So it's a stay. It's not a solution. But I suppose what I do welcome is that it's an opportunity for more dialogue to get to a sensible outcome here.
That sensible outcome, in your view, is what?
A sensible outcome is that we enforce the existing regulations on restricted breeds, which would include muzzling, you know, short leash, collar, ID, owner's name, etc. We support the breeding ban because I think it's actually unfair to breed dogs of that scale, and they often end up with health difficulties down the road. I think we would also support mandatory training and supported by a government education scheme which teaches responsible pet ownership. And then we would also welcome increased penalties. What we don't welcome, and we think is tragic, is the mass euthanizing of perfectly healthy and companions in the home, which are, you know, the public out there are frightened, confused, and this ban has contaminated not just the view of XL bullies, but actually the view and perception of all other bulldog breeds. So there are many owners out there
and
who are
not sleeping
well.
The exemption doesn't get people around that, does it not? You don't have the capacity to be able to register and still maintain
the exemption. Yeah, the exemption does. But the problem is the definition. So I don't know if you've seen the definition document, but it's very complex. Complex measurements to identify what constitutes an XL bully. So it is open to interpretation. We actually built a frame in the DSPCA to the exact dimensions of the requirements. And we were able to fit a number of different dog breeds into it, which would have fulfilled the criteria. So it's not clear, but the mandatory euthanizing of dogs is just tragic. So we would say give the shelters, engage with the shelters, and give the shelters who have the capability the opportunity to help rehome those dogs. If we've been able to rehome XL bullies into responsible owners, both in Ireland and internationally, for example, the Czech Republic, and we are willing to help other shelters and work with other shelters. Indeed, we have over the last number of months to help them rehome dogs into responsible homes. There's absolutely no justification for killing these dogs. And actually, the ban itself, to be honest with you, the experience in other jurisdictions says that it doesn't address the root cause of animal-related incidents. And in fact, Eurogroup for Animals, who are one of the leading animal welfare organizations across Europe, have written to the minister and outline the fact that these and the reasons why these bans don't work, including the research behind that.
Well, let me come back to whether or not the ban works. Stay with us for a second, Pat, because I'm joined as well by Chris Kelly of Cool Ronan Dog Rescue in Meath. Chris, your experience on the ground, are you getting many people surrendering XL bullies to you?
I'll be totally honest, Adam. I've had a few here in the last couple of months, all right. And luckily, before the 1st of February, I was managed able to rehome them. Obviously, we assessed them here first before we placed them in any home. My last one went to Finland yesterday, which I was lucky to get a home for it in Finland.
And presumably that's your only option. If you can't, you can't rehome them within Ireland, can you?
Look, of course you can. As he said himself, like you can. There are responsible owners in Ireland that will take in an XL bully. It's education. Like, there's no rescue in Ireland going to rehome a dog that is not fit for rehoming. Rescues assess the dogs. We're very capable of that. We're at it a long time. We're not going to put a dog into a situation where somebody is going to be hurt. We're not stupid.
But what I mean is, legally, are there many people in a position to take an XL bully? Because you have to have the exemption, don't you?
Yeah, obviously the exemption had to come in. But that needs to be extended. Because, like, who's going to monitor this to a certain degree? Because there's nobody really qualified in this country to actually say what an XL is. Like, dog wardens, it's been landed on them. Like, what is their education on the actual specifics? Because a lot of the dog wardens are county council. Any of these jobs are advertised in-house. So a dog warden could have been working on the roads a month before he got a job as a dog warden. What experience has he got as an XL bully to say, yes, that's an XL bully, you can't go here, you can't
go
there?
Is it that difficult to identify a dog breed? Do people not just know, well, that's a Labrador, that's a Corgi, that's an Irish Wolfhound?
That's fine, yeah. Everybody knows what a Labrador is, but it's the criteria that meets an XL bully. What is it? Like, there are dogs being put down as XL bullies that are not. There was an 8-month-old pup put asleep in a pound recently as an XL bully. And it wasn't. It was a pit bull at 8 months of age. Who can assess a dog at that age?
Well, this goes to whether or not the ban works at all. Pat Watt, CEO of the DSPCA, you were saying that the research would suggest the ban doesn't work. Why?
Because, it hasn't led to a reduction in dog attacks in the jurisdictions that has been implemented. In fact, it mainly drives illegal breeding practices underground. It the blanket ban just targets responsible owners, and they're not the problem. And it leads to new hybrid breeds. Like, we're already aware of a new breed that's coming along to replace the XL coming out of illegal breeding practices. So it doesn't fix the problem. What fixes the problem is enforcement of existing regulation, education, supports for owners, and, you know, leveraging the shelter organizations to make sure that dogs are placed in the hands of responsible pet owners. They're properly assessed. They're properly rehomed. All things are considered, including the owner's experience, the environment, et cetera, et cetera. That's what works.
And can I add one of the things, because I've heard now the argument from a number of different people that says that, you know, there is no such thing as a bad breed. There is only a bad individual dogs, and that you can have significant problems in any breed, all of which is true. But if you look at any dog breed, there will be temperament characteristics and behavioral characteristics that define the breed. So anybody who has had a collie will have seen them shepherd small children around and herd anything they can get hold of. People will be familiar with golden retrievers carrying things around. If a breed has been designed originally in its genes to fight, is that not a problem?
Well, I don't think that actually is the root of the issue at all. Because when you think about an XL bully, you ask the question earlier, what is it? Well, an XL bully is a bulldog cross that's extra large. It's not a breed. So, and there's multiple variants of that. So, you know, you can't actually see you determine or define any predetermined characteristics for those for those crosses. And so I would say to you, and if you look at a retriever, for example, has a very significant bite force because, you know, it was bred to hunt. So that doesn't make them a dangerous dog. You know, the danger comes from irresponsible ownership, people who treat them cruelly or don't know how to handle them. And, you know, they don't know how to manage the dog in an external environment. And there's, you know, there's guidelines there in place to help them do that.
But that
and there
the question,
are regulations around that.
There seems to be a slight contradiction in that, Pat, I would have thought. In that,
yeah, where you, go on.
Do these dogs require any particular special skills to own? Are they any more challenging than any other dog?
Well, I think only in the sense that, well, first of all, the special requirement is muzzling. So, you know, you muzzle the dog, you know, when you're out, there's no threat to the public. Okay. The short lead, because they are strong. So you've got to have owners that are actually capable of handling a dog with that strength and that musculature. So, you know, so when we're rehoming, we consider the owners, the profile, their experience with handling dogs, including in particular bulldog breeds, and their willingness to adhere to the regulations, particularly when they're out in public.
And why do you support the muzzling?
Because I suppose it reduces fear and prejudice towards the dogs when they're out in public. So this ban has actually contributed to huge negative publicity around all bulldog breeds out there, which is a tragedy. And so muzzling is actually viewed by the public in general as an assurance that dog has the potential to bite me. So it's just merely an insurance to give comfort to the public when the dog is out and about. And the dog needs to be out and about and exercise.
But it's effectively a public relations exercise. It makes no difference.
Well, it's not really, because the, you know, if for some reason the dog finds itself in an environment where it feels threatened, it won't bite because it's muzzled.
So this is where I see that there seems to be a slight paradox in the logic. If that's the case, and if, as you say, you have retrievers that have significant bite force, shouldn't that apply equally to all dogs? Why would you be in favour of the muzzling of a certain set of breeds if there aren't breed characteristics that make them particularly dangerous?
Only because of the negative publicity and lack of understanding of managing these dogs has created a negative perception, which has led to a ban, which has led to the potential for these dogs to be actually euthanized. That's the only reason. You know, restrictions are merely there to provide reassurance to the public. And to, I suppose the from a government perspective, they're seen to be doing something, albeit they need to do more in the enforcement and education.
But surely I would have thought that it has the opposite effect then, Pat. I would have thought if you take a breed and you say, we will now make sure that every time somebody sees a dog like this in public, they see it muzzled. What that says to every member of the public is, this thing is a threat. It doesn't make them more relaxed about the breed.
I don't agree, because actually many dogs have, for example, nervous dispositions and have the potential in a threatening scenario to bite. And you mentioned collies earlier on. Collies can be highly nervous animals. So can German shepherds. You know, there's plenty of breeds that in a challenging situation can feel threatened and may nip. Dogs are dogs. They can be unpredictable across any of the breeds. So I don't agree. I think the reason why certain dogs have been identified is because there have been some incidences of dog-related incidents and bites. And the view from the government is, let's put some restrictions in place that will reassure the public and actually help to reduce the potential for any incidents going forward. So we support it in the sense if it stops euthanizing, mass euthanasia of these dogs, we'll go with it. Do we like it? No, we don't. We prefer enforcement and education.
Pat, thanks very much. That's Pat Watt, who is CEO of the DSPCA, and before him, Chris Kelly of Cool Ronan Dog Rescue in Meath. The texts say all dogs should be muzzled outside, regardless of what breed it is. People always forget about genetics with dog breeding. Yes, the handler can be an issue, but if a dog has a genetic disposition to attack and fight, this is going to be bred into its own pups. Another, golden retrievers, border collies are instantly recognisable. Bulldog, pit bull type dogs all look the same. The legal and the illegal ones.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
When living with cancer, it's important to be informed and know what to expect. But finding the right information can feel overwhelming. That's why UnderstandCancerTogether.com is here to help. We've gathered practical information and resources based on where you are in your cancer journey so that you can focus on the important conversations and decisions of today. UnderstandCancerTogether.com, helping you navigate life with cancer one moment at a time.